535-3562. KSKQ thanks Sinclair Productions and listeners like you for supporting community radio.
Good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock, and you are listening to KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. And Wednesdays, as always, 5 o'clock means beer radio. So let's kick it off.
In him I give thy beer. Don't claim your beer as here. And since there is no beer, don't drink and be under unser Bier. Sicher muss der Wein vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnaps so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heute seid gescheit, liebe Leute.
Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier. Drum trinken wir es hier. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier, dann trinken die anderen unser Bier.
Und seine Eigenart.
Eine fliegt auf glatt rasiert, die andere auf den Bart.
Einer möchte nur Fußball spielen, dem anderen ist das Durst.
Wir allein gestehen es ein, wir haben immer Durst.
Vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnaps so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heute seid gescheit, liebe Leute.
Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, drum trinken wir es hier. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier, dann trinken die anderen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Beer Radio and happy, happy, happy hoppy or hoppy malty holidays. We are here on December 21st, right around the shortest sunlight day of the year, and we are glad you are with us on Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host, coming to you every Wednesday live from Southern Oregon. It's gorgeous. Of course, I wish there was more snow, and I say of course because if you do know me, you know I love snow. So it's beautiful nonetheless here in the Siskiyou Mountains, Southern Oregon. We are coming to you with another great episode of Beer Radio. It is our 40th episode. We turned 40 episodes of age. I don't know if age is right for a radio program, but we're thrilled to be here at KSKQ, part of the family. One thing I want to share with everybody today is that, excuse me. Live radio is wonderful. December 31st, New Year's Eve, we're having a celebration here at the studio. We would love it if you could come and drop by. Let me tell you a little bit about the party that's going on. We're going to celebrating and partying at KSKQ. We're all hooked up. And on Saturday the 31st, which is New Year's Eve, we'll have an open house and potluck. So join us here at the studio on the 31st from 1 to 4 p.m. So it's a great early day New Year's Eve special. You can meet your radio hosts and dedicated volunteers because they are also really important to helping us make all this happen, as well as our sponsors. We heard from the Northwest Nature Shop. They're another one that's great, and they're right down the street from one of our local breweries right here. And we're at 330 East Hersey Street. You can get the address from kskq.org. We'd love it if you'd come by. Come by Potluck. We're going to do a little record and CD exchange, or you can buy them, and the money that you purchase those things with goes towards the operation of the station. Since we are community supported, that means that we all get to pitch in with our coins and our dollars and things like that to make the radio station happen. So come join us Saturday, December 31st from 1 to 4 p.m. for our open house and potluck. So plan on being here. It's family friendly. You can bring your dogs by if you like, I think, as well. And we appreciate everybody and your support. So keep that in mind. Excuse me. And again, welcome back to Beer Radio. We are here every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I am Ginger Johnson, your host. You can send me any messages on the line, ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com. That's our website. We're beer educators and researchers. And then you can always tweet along with us at Women Enjoy Beer if you're into Twitter, which is a lot of fun. It's always interesting. And succinctness reigns supreme. You can always check us out on Facebook, Women Enjoying Beer, with space between the words. And if you like us, we always appreciate that. That's fantastic. Of course, no pressure. And today's guest is fantastic, and I know she is on Twitter, and she's also on the line. Hello, Teresa.
Hi, Ginger. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Excellent, excellent. Teresa, you are on Twitter at Teecer, right? T-E-E-C-E-R, is that correct?
That's correct.
Excellent. Everybody say hello to Teresa. And do you say it Carpine or Carpine?
It's actually Carpini.
Oh, I like that even better.
Yeah, it's Italian.
Do I have to like hold my wrist up and do some sort of action with my hand? Carpini.
While you're eating spaghetti.
There you go. Absolutely. With a red and white checkered bib tucked into your shirt. Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us today, Teresa.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And you are in Seattle today?
Actually, I'm in Spokane.
You're in Spokane, right,
on
indeed.
And
what's going on in Spokane today or lately for the holidays?
You know, we just got a little bit of snow last night, which is unusual. Usually we have quite a bit of snow this time of year.
Okay.
Which I don't like snow.
Oh,
all that
send
much,
it down so here.
I like it this way, with just a little light frost in the morning. It's
okay.
Perfect.
So. Very cool. Well, send any snow that you don't want down my way.
What was that?
Send any snow you don't want down my way.
I will be sure to do that.
Excellent. Very good. Well, thanks to listeners don't know this, but Teresa was such a good sport. We were actually going to have you on, I want to say, 2 or 3 weeks ago originally. And,
it might have been about a month, I think.
It might have been. Time flies way too fast. So,
it does, yes.
Yeah, but that kind of turned into a little bit of a little challenge, and so thanks for sticking with us and finding time today to join us. This is great.
Well, this works even better for me because I am in grad school and I'm on break right now. So
splendid, indeed.
I have all the time in the world to talk about
right
beer and drink beer. It's
excellent.
Great.
And are you enjoying a beer as we are talking?
You know, I'm not, because I'm actually going to go out a little bit later tonight.
Okay.
So
all right.
I'm abstaining for now.
Okay. Are you going to go out and enjoy a beer a little later tonight then?
Hopefully. My friend is having a birthday celebration at one of a restaurant that actually has a brewery in-house, and so I'm excited to go there and have their vanilla bourbon stout.
Nice.
Really, really tasty.
Vanilla bourbon stout.
Especially for a winter night.
Okay. Who's brewing that?
That is at the Bean Plant Grill.
Bean Plant.
And it used to be brewed by Coeur d'Alene Brewing.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they changed their name because Coeur d'Alene is actually in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have a facility in Idaho, but they also brewed at the steam plant.
Right.
And now their Idaho facility is closed, and they only do brewing at the steam plant. So I think there might have been a name change or something going on. I'm still trying to figure it all out. But at the Steam Plant Grill, you can find their vanilla bourbon stout.
Okay, terrific. Wonderful. That sounds great. Be sure to have a little sip or two for me.
I will.
So, you and I connected because of Devery, I believe, correct?
Yes, I think so. I think I was working on a beer event in Seattle with Devery, and she told me that she was going to be on Beer Radio with you, and so I started following you on Twitter and seeing what you were up to, and I met her through Twitter and through Ladies of Craft Beer, and so it's been really fun to kind of have a little online community and then actually become friends in real life.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And of course, the ladies of craft beer, there's another part of the polygon, we'll say, because it's not really just a triangle, with Stevie Caldarola, of course, who's another spectacular person.
Mm-hmm.
We love Stevie. Yep. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I started writing for them about 15 months ago, I think, so a little over a year.
Okay.
And it's just been so much fun to have that platform to connect with other women and to share what I was drinking and to hear what other people were drinking and what they were experiencing. And it's just been a really fun community.
Very cool. Excellent. So how often do you write for the Ladies of Craft Beer?
I try to do at least once a week. During when I was in school, it got a little tricky with all the papers I was writing for class to also find time to not only just drink beer, but find time to write about it. So I took a little break, but since leading up to the holidays, I'm trying to do a post a day that I'm calling the Six Beers of Christmas.
Oh.
So I went to my local beer store, and there was all these winter seasonals that I hadn't had before. And so I filled up a six-pack and brought them home, and now I'm having one a day and just kind of sharing my thoughts. And I tried to get, they're mostly from the Northwest. There's a couple from the Midwest. So just different things that I hadn't tried before. So
sure.
It's been fun so far.
Yeah, what a great idea. And just picking six, that's kind of a toughie, isn't it? Because you want to.
What was that?
I said just picking six is kind of a toughie. It'd be nice to fill up a 24, you know, four different six packs.
Yeah, I know, but my budget.
Right.
Maybe if this is successful, maybe I'll try to do something. The 12 beers, or the six beers for 2012 or something
there
like that.
There you go. Excellent.
Leading up to New Year's. So. Cool. So maybe I'll try to find some different stuff next
Sure.
week.
So how did you pick these six beers that you're talking about this holiday season, Teresa?
Well, I just looked at the way my beer store is laid out. I know all beer stores are different, but my favorite place, which is called Bottles in the Spokane Valley, and it's mostly wine, but they have a pretty good beer selection, too. And they are organized by style. And so they have their seasonal section kind of right up front, and so just all the winter seasonals and strong ales and everything like that was in that area. And so I just looked at breweries that I know I like, but that I haven't tried that beer before.
Okay.
So that's basically the method to my madness.
Okay.
And so sometimes I think I've had a beer from all of the breweries that I picked, but not these ones. So.
Okay. And can you share with us the six breweries that you did pick?
Yeah, let me.
That's a great idea. So you could go. There's some great bottle shops, and it seems like there's more and more all the time. And so, what a fun way to approach it. Maybe they should be your sponsor for this.
They should. Well, and I've also done it where I've gone in and got different IPAs that were on Hoptopia's monthly like recommendations for Untappd. He used to do a list of. If you drink three of those IPAs, then you would get a badge. I don't know if you would use Untappd. It's kind of a fun way to keep track of beers that you haven't tried and see what other people are drinking and what's out there right now. So I've done that with IPAs, too.
Okay,
And I've also, I was having a tasting party, and so kind of tried to find different things that I thought would match the food that I was serving.
Okay,
so.
Excellent.
Yeah, so... if you go to Ladies of Craft Beer, one of the top stories on there is my two recent Six Beers of Christmas.
Okay.
And it has a photo of the six beers on there. So you can look at those, and if you can't figure out what they are, I can tell them to you.
All right.
So,
excellent.
The first one I had was Scuttlebutt Brewing's 10 Below.
Okay. And Scuttlebutt is a Washington brewery, is it not?
Yes, that's in Everett.
Okay.
So I'm kind of working eastward. So the next one was an Oregon beer from Terminal Gravity, which is their Festivale.
Okay.
I guess, however, you want to put the emphasis on that.
All right.
Next, is Laughing Dog, which is in Idaho.
Okay.
Their Cold Nose Winter Ale.
Mm.
That's my late tonight when I get home.
Okay.
That's what I get to have when I get home tonight.
All right.
And then from Montana, Big Sky Brewing's Powder Hound Winter Ale.
Okay. Yep.
Then we got Boulevard Nutcracker Ale, which I'm not sure about this one because I'm not a big fan of nut ales, but I wasn't sure if it was actually just the name or if it was the style, so we'll see about this.
That's a tasty one. I've had that one. I would recommend that one.
You like it? Okay.
I do, and I love Boulevard. Everything they put out is extremely high quality.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Cool.
And then finally we got Shiner Holiday Cheer, which just is in a really festive bottle.
Okay, very good. Shiner from Texas.
That stood out to me.
Okay. Excellent. Well, what a great spread and selection, Teresa. That's a terrific idea. I think that everybody should go ahead and do that and mix and match, and it's nice to find a place that you can do that by the bottle and each and just have at it. And like you'd, you know, another way to do it, which I'm sure you've done too, is to have kind of a beer potluck where people bring different beers over and you share it and nosh and sip and have a wonderful time that way too.
Yeah, I'm actually planning for next week a small gathering of friends where it's going to be an update on the traditional cookie exchange that people do around the holidays. So everybody brings a batch of cookies and then you mix and match, so then you get some of everybody's cookies. Well,
excellent.
I think cookies taste really good with beer, so along with your batch of cookies that you're going to bring, you're going to bring a beer, and then we're all going to taste them and then decide which beer goes best with which cookie. And so I thought that was a fun update on something that my grandmother would do.
Oh, for sure. That's a brilliant idea. You are listening to Beer Radio, and we have special guest Teresa Carpini with us today talking about creative holiday beer ideas as well. I love the cookie exchange with beer. We are here live with you in Ashland, Oregon, Southern Oregon, 89.5 FM, KSKQ.org, and coming to you every week with great beer conversations with terrific people like Teresa. So thanks again for joining us, Teresa.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And you can check out what Teresa has to say on Twitter at TEECER. Teaser, I guess. Is that how you'd say it? Okay. I have a sister-in-law named Teresa, too, so I have a particular connection with your name. I think it's a really pretty name. And she likes beer, too, so.
Better.
Yeah. Yeah, you can always send me suggestions, questions for our guests, or whatever you might want to talk about or hear about on Beer Radio, ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com. We're beer educators and researchers. You can tweet along with us at Women Enjoy Beer, and you can find us on Facebook as well, Women Enjoying Beer. So thanks for listening in. So, Teresa, are there other members of your family that are as explorative and interested and curious about beer as you are?
I don't know if I could say as explorative, but I think my family's really special in that occurred to me that women weren't supposed to drink beer, because a lot of women in my family do, and once I really got into craft beer, I think that helped my mom get into trying more different kinds of beer. But she's always enjoyed beer, and my sister and her husband are pretty adventurous beer drinkers too. And so it's always kind of fun when I get my brother-in-law for his birthday Deschutes Black Butte anniversary ale, and so that's my excuse for buying to get a fancy bottle of beer. Say this is for your birthday, so we have to drink it.
That's right. You're supposed to share. That's right.
And
just like a cake.
He's all about that.
Very cool. And are they all in? Are most of those people in Washington as well?
Yeah, my immediate family's in Spokane, which is one of the reasons I moved back about a year ago. I lived in Bellingham, Washington, for about 8 years. Is in the very northwest corner, and it's home to Boundary Bay Brewery, which is one of the best breweries in Washington, I think. And then Chuckanut Brewing also opened a couple years ago too. They're done very well at GABS and all kinds of awards. And so they have a really Western Washington definitely has a pretty healthy craft beer scene going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Eastern Washington has really taken off, I think, in the past couple years, and it is continuing to grow. So it's been fun to kind of be here while that's happening,
because mm-hmm.
when I lived in Spokane before, I was in high school, mm-hmm. so couldn't really partake.
Sure.
Wouldn't be interested in partaking either.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cool. So, do you remember some of the first breweries you were aware of and started thinking about with this curiosity and this exploration? I think on your when I was looking on Ladies Craft Beer, said you kind of started, you attended your first craft beer festival in 2008, and so I'm guessing that that was some sort of jumping off point for you, Teresa?
I think so. I think before that it seemed so just second nature that I wouldn't even really think about ordering anything else besides craft beer. Like, I like to support things that were local, so when I would be traveling, I would always want to get something that was from a local brewer if I could. And just the flavors and styles of craft beer are just so much, I just find more agreeable than what you generally find on tap at some of places. So I would always just kind of keep an eye out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's probably around the time that I kind of started taking it seriously, that there are so many options just besides what's in my little town or mm-hmm. At my favorite establishment.
Sure.
So.
And what do you suppose made you start thinking about beer more?
I guess.
Did you, like, have some that were really flavorful and you thought, oh, well, how about that? Maybe I want to try some more, or what do you think it was?
Yeah, I think it was just the perception of when I was a kid that beer is just
mm-hmm.
really, really bitter and really, like, fizzy
mm-hmm.
and not, it's not supposed to taste good. what I had assumed growing up is, that it's like, well, you don't really drink it because it tastes good. You just drink it because it makes you feel good.
Sure.
And so when I started drinking beer, that I was like, well, this does taste good. It actually has, like, elements to it. And
mm-hmm.
It probably wasn't until I started really writing seriously for Ladies of Craft Beer that I started thinking more about tastings and elements of beer and what goes into making beer and flavor profiles and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But up until then, it was mostly just, I want to try something different. And I've never been afraid of trying something at least once.
Cool.
So that's kind of my motto, especially right. about beer.
Okay, excellent. Very good. And where was that first festival in 2008 that you went to?
That was in Bellingham. It was their April Brews Day Festival. So it's in April, and it's always like the same weekend as my birthday.
Oh.
So that was always a fun part of it, too.
Sure. Yay, they're having a festival for my birthday.
My family would come to visit. And
yeah.
Everybody, we got to go to the beer festival for my birthday. So.
Isn't that nice of them?
Yeah. So.
Very good. You should. Do you still go to it then?
I didn't go this past year since I was in Spokane, but hopefully I'll get to go again in the future.
Sure.
They know how to do brewery festivals
up
there. So.
Yeah. It'd be kind of fun for you to contact them and just say, hey, this is my story, and your festival had a lot to do with my beer journey, and, do you want to do anything with that? Do you want to use that for marketing or anything? That would be... That's kind of a fun story, because I know from what we do, a lot of people really want to know the story of how everything happens and develops and comes about. And that'd be kind of a fun one.
Definitely. Yeah. Should.
Cool. Do you like to cook with beer also, Teresa?
I do. I have a couple recipes on Ladies of Craft Beer. Most of them are either for baking or for crock pot recipes, because I'm pretty lazy when it comes to cooking, so if I can throw everything in a pot and have it just simmer all day and then have it taste good, like
uh-huh.
that's the best.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, maybe you should call it lazy efficient instead.
Yeah,
put it all together. Oh, look at that. Aren't I just smart? Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Crock pot cooking's a great way to go. I would totally agree. You are listening to Beer... Yep, go ahead.
it's great, especially in the winter time.
Yes.
It's so easy when you come home and everything's ready. Like, that's the best.
Yeah, for sure. It smells good and it's waiting for you and it's happy and you're just, your taste buds are really ready. Awesome. It's going to make me hungry here because I haven't had dinner. I don't know about you. Very good. You are listening to Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host. We are having our special guest, Teresa Carpini, with us, coming to us live from Spokane, Washington tonight, having a fun conversation. Teresa has done a lot of writing specifically with the beer community, and you can find a lot of her writings on Ladies of Craft Beer, so go online and check that out. You can follow her on Twitter, Teaser, T-E-E-C-E-R, and you can check us out on Twitter also, at Women Enjoy Beer. We're going to break for a sponsor, an underwriter's announcement, a brief song, and we will be back with more Beer Radio.
Northwest Nature Shop is pleased to be an underwriter of KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. As a family-owned business, the Northwest Nature Shop offers gifts, toys, and tools to help adults and children learn about nature and science. The store is located at 154 Oak Street in Ashland. Call 541-482-3241 or visit www.northwestnatureshop.com for more information. KSKQ thanks Northwest Nature Shop and listeners like you for supporting community radio.
Welcome back, everybody. A little beer and pretzel music, according to the album cover. We'll just call it Good for Beer. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host, coming to you live from Beer Radio, headquarters of the universe in Southern Oregon. Thanks so much for joining us. And if you're tuning into an archive, thanks for that as well. You can access all of our shows. You can stream us live during the show, which is 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. every Wednesday. You can stream us on kskq.org, which is also 89.5 if you are in the Rogue Valley. And if you are not, check us out online. Share us along. We love it when you forward. And I love to hear comments from people like they caught the show, or I really liked our guest, Teresa Carpini, tonight, or whatever it is you want to tell us. So you can reach out and shoot me an email any old time, ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com. You can tweet along with us at Women Enjoy Beer, and you can check us out on Facebook as well. So thanks so much. It's good to be part of the KSKQ family. We've got a potluck and fundraiser going on New Year's Eve, so hopefully you can think about that. possibly join us and clean out your couch cushions for change and bring that along, we appreciate any help that you can offer us. Because if you like the programs, well, consider helping support them. Today's great guest is Teresa Carpini. Welcome back, Teresa.
Thank you, Ginger.
Of course. Thank you. Coming to us from Spokane. And it's Spokane, not Spokane, correct?
Yes, it's Spokane. We can Spokane.
You can. Very good. Kind of like when I travel, I've not always been from Oregon. And some people are like, oh, are you from Oregon? And you know, you kind of want to tease them. It hasn't gone anywhere.
Right, so. Exactly.
Indeed. How big is Spokane, Teresa?
Oh, now
would
you're
guess?
Me on the spot. It's gone back and forth between being the second and the third largest city in the state. It's,
okay.
And
behind.
It's sprawling. We kind of have, it's
sure.
growing a lot, and I'm actually currently in the Spokane Valley, which used to be part of Spokane City, but now
okay.
it's its own, so it's kind of all becoming a sprawling metropolis and
okay.
slash expanding suburb. So I grew up here, and so it's a great place, I think, to raise a family. But
okay.
I'm biased because I grew up here.
Sure.
But I think it's a really pretty place, and a lot of people know about it or think of it because it's way over on the east side,
okay.
so far away from Seattle and Portland and all those and Vancouver. So
sure. So then, what is Seattle the largest city?
Yes.
And then
Seattle,
Vancouver?
And then, we go back and forth with Tacoma.
Oh, okay.
Usually. Even though Tacoma, SeaTac is kind of, I don't know, it's its own city too. And so I just think of that I-5 corridor as like one big city.
Yeah, no kidding. I was just up in Seattle too a couple weeks ago, I guess a month or so ago. You're right. Time goes way too fast and just keeps going and going and going. But, yeah, so it goes. Well, excellent. Well, I think I've been through Spokane, but I have not actually stayed there. So we might have to put our heads together and do something fun there. That would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Spokane is kind of known for a couple really random things. Bloom's Day is one of the largest road races in the world. It's a 12K and thousands of people come to town to do it, and
okay.
it's really fun, and you get a t-shirt at the end of it. It's kind of the our main thing,
okay.
and then we have a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, and I don't know, there's a lot of goofy little things that I think make Spokane really special.
All right.
But
excellent.
I don't know if other people appreciate them.
Sure. Well, there must be several, because it's a pretty big city, so.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. So, have you run that 12K?
I have not run it.
Okay.
I've walked it many, many times.
Okay, excellent.
And I've ridden on my dad's shoulder.
Nice.
When I was a little girl.
I love it. That's so. Great. What a great vantage point.
Yeah.
Very cool. Excellent. So you've lived in Washington State your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And have you traveled around a bit?
A little bit. I spent a summer in Maine once, and that was another place where being in such a different environment and seeing all the local beers that they had, and like then that kind of was like, oh, you mean like you can't get Boundary Bay everywhere you go, outside of Western Washington, and and so you have to have your own local beers, and so I love that kind of attitude about wherever I'm going to go, I'm going to embrace the local beer scene, and so I took a trip to San Francisco a little over a year ago, and I tried to hit as many beer or breweries as I could that were within walking distance.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked far.
Wow.
I walked all over that city, and so I went to Thirsty Bear and 21st Amendment and Magnolia Pub in Haight-Ashbury, and so that city has a great craft beer attitude, and I love it down there. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and the Craft Brewers Conference was just there this past spring, so we were right smack downtown. Even though downtown's huge, we were in a part
right.
of downtown, I guess, and that was cool. We talked about walking. My fine husband, who's also in the beer industry, and I headed out for dinner one night, like, wow, well, you could go 50 feet and probably find something good to eat. You could go the half a mile. You could go a couple miles. So we ended up walking, and we were close enough, so we walked to Chinatown, and that was really a cool thing because, of course, San Francisco has long had a very robust and significant Chinatown and Element, that part of the culture, which is fantastic. And we ordered some. We went into this. I don't remember what the restaurant name was, but we went in. It was the biggest menu, Teresa, I have ever seen in my entire life. There had to be like 300 or 400 things on there. I could not believe it.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was like unbelievable. And I don't even remember what we drank for beer. I think we might have had sake because.
Yeah.
Like, well, we're in a Chinese restaurant. Let's go ahead with some traditional Chinese beverage. But
when in Rome or in Chinatown.
That's right. Exactly. Do as the, yeah, because they're gonna know what's the best. I mean, oh,
right.
Yeah, that's cool. Excellent. Yeah, San Francisco does have some nice beer culture to it. Do you have any plans to travel anytime soon? And do your travel plans usually involve, or do they get augmented by beer curiosity?
I think they do. I went to Oregon Brewers Festival this year, and going there and the festival was obviously a big part of it, but on my drive there and back, I made sure to stop at a couple breweries and hit some places that I was excited about. And I'm actually going to Italy this summer for a couple weeks for a program that my school does. This isn't the only reason I'm going, but they do have a beer festival during the program while we're going to be there.
Excellent.
And so I'm so excited to go to an Italian beer festival. I don't think it'll be anything like an American beer festival. So I'm really excited to compare and contrast.
Yeah.
Hopefully actually do some kind of, academic research study about the differences and craft beer culture in Italy.
Sure.
It's a country that's mostly known for wine, obviously, and so I'm really excited to dive into the beer scene while I'm there.
Yeah, well, that sounds exciting, and I know that Italy they are starting to hit a stride with some beers, and so that's really exciting. Oh, that's cool. When do you go on that trip?
It's the end of June and the start of July, time frame. So
very cool. So you write for the Ladies of Craft Beer, and you are a grad student.
Yep.
And you also do web content writer and editor. And so do some of those other things. Does the web, any web content or writing or editing, does that encompass beer at all?
That bio needs to be updated.
Oh, okay.
But I tried as much as I could to pull beer writing into my actual job. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. Mm-hmm. But it was always fun to try. And I, hopefully in the future, I would love to continue writing about beer, but also possibly working for a brewery to do their content, to do marketing, something like that. I'm not sure exactly where my plan is going to be after, or what my plan is going to be after I finish this program. But right now I'm just focusing on school.
Sure.
And,
and
Ladies of Craft Beers. Something fun to keep me occupied during winter break.
Absolutely, definitely. And I've probably asked you this, forgive me. What are you going to grad school for?
I am getting a master's in communication and leadership studies.
Splendid.
It's a program at Gonzaga University, which that's the other thing Spokane is known for, is for Gonzaga and their basketball team. If you follow March Madness and NCAA basketball tournament, we're usually in there, and we had a pretty good team this year, so I think they'll make it to the tournament. We'll see. But it's a really interesting program because it marries a lot of theoretical, analytical ideas about how we communicate and society and culture with practical application about how do you manage a team and how do you organize nonprofit and things like that. So
excellent. Sounds like something.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, that sounds like something that's very pragmatic, interesting. You can keep the learning curve going, and I am guessing that there would be many a brewery or beer-oriented business that would probably welcome somebody with those skills.
I hope so. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see what the market is like in 3 years.
Indeed. Very good. Excellent. You are listening to Beer Radio. I am Ginger Johnson, your host. Thanks for joining us. We have special guest Teresa Carpini coming to us from Spokane, Washington. And she does a lot of great things, and one of them is write for Ladies of Craft Beer. And you can follow her on Twitter at Teecer, T-E-E-C-E-R, as well. And so we appreciate her joining us. So when you wrote your first bio for Ladies of Craft Beer, you mentioned that you really liked Kona Brewing's Fire Rock Pale Ale. Does that still hold true?
It's still one of my go-to reliables. If
okay.
I'm somewhere where there's nothing else that sounds good at all, uh-huh. or just doesn't have as much selection as I've come to be accustomed
uh-huh.
to, then it's a good fallback.
Okay.
But I think my probably... it's been superseded by Deschutes Mere Pond Pale Ale.
Okay.
That it's just a little bit higher in quality and almost just as easy to find, I think. Deschutes has been really interesting to watch them grow mm-hmm. over the past couple of years, so I think they're taking over, which I'm not upset about. I love it.
Very good. It's good to not be upset about your beer.
Yep.
That would be a bad thing. Excellent. So let's see here. Lots of great questions. It's always fun. And, you know, Teresa, we haven't had very many people like yourself, meaning you're talented in a lot of ways. You're a good writer and everything. Yet for us, from our vantage point, you're a really solid consumer. And so it's fun to have somebody that's in that exploration. I'm really interested in things. You don't brew. You know, you're not a distributor, those kind of things. So I'm really glad you had some time to join us tonight.
I'm so glad you had me.
Oh, of course. Yeah, this is great. So what's one of your... and you can pick several, because I will never ask for one single anything, because those are impossible. Like, what song would you have on the desert island? I'm like, oh, are you kidding?
Oh, yeah.
But I would ask you, what are some of the things, plural, that you really like about beer?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I just like the way it tastes.
Just start.
Number one, I wouldn't be so passionate about it if, you know, I just thought it was mediocre, but that I think just almost every time you try something, you even something that you've had before, you know, it might not be the same. A new brewery just opened up in Spokane called 12 String Brewing,
mm-hmm.
and I was at a local beer bar, and they said it was the first keg of 12 String Brewing that anybody had on tap anywhere.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, well, I have to try it. And it was their harvest ale called Roundabout Confusion. And so I was like, that's it. I have to have it. And he poured it for me, and it was so dark and so chocolatey and malty. I was so confused. I was like, this isn't a harvest ale. This is like a stout. I don't know. So, but I really enjoyed it. And then the tap room for the brewery actually opened up just a couple weeks ago, and so I went there, and they said that they had another keg of it, their last keg of that batch, because it was their fall seasonal, and the second time I had it, it was totally different. It was
really
had a real licorice flavor, and I don't know, it was just something was different. Maybe it was just my mood, or maybe what I was expecting had changed from the first time I had it, and so the same beer, two completely different experiences, and so I really appreciate that. I know that for macro brewing, it's, you know, make the product as consistent as possible so people know what they're getting, and there is something to be said for, you know, well, I ordered this and I expect to get this, but at the same time to not let that dictate your creativity, and to try different things, and to let a batch go out that it's like, well, this wasn't quite what we expected, or it's way different from last year, but this is what it is. And so I really appreciate that about small brewers, that they're not as beholden to meeting the bottom line of how many bottles they have to get out and all the quality control and things like that. So
mm-hmm. Sure. Cool. Yeah, there's just dozens of things to love about the beer community. So
mm-hmm.
I know it's a slightly loaded question, but it seems like it's an avalanche for most people. They take a minute, And I'm like, yeah, well, I like this. And then I like this. And then I like this. And the volume goes up and the excitement gets bigger.
Exactly.
And then you're around other beer people and it's just like a bunch of three-year-olds staring at each other in a room like, oh my gosh, you're the same. Yeah, look at you.
Exactly.
Do you have a variety of beer glassware at home, Teresa?
You know, not a whole ton. I have a couple of snifters and a couple of tulip glasses that I've accumulated, but mostly at home I just go for the standard pint glass. Unfortunately, it's the same reason I think that it's the most popular style. So like, oh, it saves space. They're easy to, they're durable, so they don't break as easily as some other glasses. So,
no. So
at home, I try to make things festive sometimes, but mm-hmm. usually it's just a plain old
All right.
pint glass.
Very good. Excellent. And what do you, when you shop for your beers, Teresa, you've got the bottle shop there. And tell us the name of the bottle shop in Spokane
it's
that you like.
It's called Bottles.
Bottles. So. Okay. And they're, Bottles. I think they're online also, aren't they?
You know, I don't think so. I don't think they have a website.
Okay. There's a lot of, sorry, go ahead.
Connected to a cafe and bakery in town called Rocket Bakery. They have several in the area, and I'm pretty sure they're owned by the same people. So
okay.
It's in Spokane Valley, so
okay.
Bottles. Pretty easy to find.
Okay, and so does Bottles also sell cans?
Yes, they do have cans.
Okay, great. And do you seek out cans ever, or do you seek out bottles, or you just simply seek out beer, and does the packaging affect your decision on what beer you choose to enjoy?
I think it does. I think... because I do think I look for things that I haven't seen before. So if it's a new label on an old beer, like that might get my attention, but mm-hmm. I might not necessarily get it if I've already tried it. I always want to try something new when I go. Mm-hmm. When I go to get my mix and match six pack, that's the time to try new things. Mm-hmm. Or to buy a can of Maui Brewing's coconut porter to make cupcakes with.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, I have some friends in town who they started a beer cupcake business.
Nice.
And that's one of the recipes that's on their website. And so I used it even before I met them, and then we became friends through Twitter, and now we're actually friends in real life. And so
I love it.
This is one of those things where I saw this recipe and I was like, that sounds amazing. I have to make it. So if I'm making that, I do get. The same thing, but when I go to Bottles, I want to try something that's different. If mm-hmm. I go to my regular grocery store just to buy a six pack, like if I'm going to a barbecue or just to have something at the house to have in the fridge, then I'm usually I'll if I'm buying more than one, then I want to get something that I know is going to be good, like a Deschutes.
Sure. Indeed.
The main one that I get.
Okay. Cool. Have you ever been to the Great American Beer Festival, Teresa?
I have not, unfortunately.
Is that on the radar?
I told myself I was going to go this past year, and then I started school.
Okay.
I was like, there's no way I can afford to go and miss school and all those things. So
sure. So maybe once you're done with grad school.
If I get a job for a brewery, then that would be a great excuse to go.
Sure.
Do research.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. I'm sure you'd have a ball. It's really
yeah.
an incredible incredible celebration. I would call it way beyond a festival. So very cool. Excellent.
Definitely.
You are listening to Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host. We have special guest Teresa Carpini coming to us from Spokane, Washington today. She loves beer and is on her own exploration journey. And I think, Teresa, that's one thing that's really obvious in talking with you today. It's you're just really enthusiastic, and it doesn't sound like you're any kind of snob. You're just really like, you know, let's give it a whirl and see what we've got, and not a big deal to try something. And if you don't end up liking it, it's not that big a deal, because maybe it's just not the beer for you. And so I laud you for your enthusiasm and not being restricting on where you're going with beer.
Thank you.
That's cool. Yes. So we've just got a few minutes of time left. It always goes so fast. It's incredible. So when we talked about your first festival there in Washington, and are there other festivals? I gotta believe that there's some festivals in Spokane, some beer festivals in Spokane. Are there some around?
The Washington Association, it's WABL, which was Washington Beer.
Oh yeah, the Washington Beer Commission.
Commission, that's what it is.
Yes.
I haven't looked at their website for so long. They organized an Oktoberfest, and I'm pretty sure this past year was the second year. It might have been the third. But so that's the only real one. I think there's other smaller festivals, and it feels like we're getting more beer nights or brewers nights and beer dinners and that kind of a thing are popping up around town. So it's cool to see that happening, and we need a big summer festival. Like Oktoberfest was in September, and that was great. Mm-hmm. But something in the dead of summer that's the best time to go to a festival, I think.
Sure. A lot of people are really all about it and feel celebratory, and it's warm into the evening, a little live music in there, a little food,
yeah.
little celebration. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Cool. And when you go to a festival, beer festival, Teresa, how do you choose the beers that you choose? What is your, do you have a strategy, or do you just kind of wing it, or how do you approach beers at a festival?
At a festival, my main prerogative is to try something that I haven't had before. So if there's breweries that are coming to town that you usually only get from that town, then when they come to a festival, it's like, well, I have to try that. At the Oktoberfest, there was a couple breweries from the Pullman area, which isn't that far. That's where WSU is. But I don't go down there very often, so, and their beers were pretty much only available in Pullman and around that area. So when they came up to the festival, it was like, well, I definitely want to try that because it's something that I can't walk across the street to the bar and get. So
sure.
That's the main thing. And then also seasonal things, usually festivals, brewers are usually bring there.
Mm-hmm.
That's whatever seasonal they have. On tap at the moment, so those are the main things. Just something different, something that if I don't try it today, I might not get to try for a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I look at it.
Sure, cool, excellent. That's they're always fun, and every festival, of course, as you and I both know, is slightly different, and some mm-hmm. may focus on styles or regions or fresh hop festival or something or other. So They're always. I like to put a little strategy behind it, and so that helps me. There's no way you can really reasonably try and remember all the samples you would have at a festival. So,
no,
not really. So, and I don't bring a notebook with me. I know there's a lot of people that do, and I think that's great. It's just not my style. So,
yeah, I have paper with me. I usually just try to check off which ones I've had because I
yeah.
won't remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and that's a good strategy.
Good,
yeah, that's easy.
For me to know that I did try it.
Yeah, so, right. Yep, I don't remember it, but there it goes. So, yeah.
Yeah,
indeed.
Exactly.
Yeah, very cool. Excellent. You are listening to Beer Radio on 89.5 FM, kskq.org. We've got time for about one or two more questions. And so, I got two more. So, here's your second to last one today, Teresa Carpini. Tell me and our fabulous audience a little, what do you want from your beer? What is it?
Oh.
Why do you, what do you want from that beer that's in that glass?
I want it to make me straighten up and notice it. Whether that means it has a flavor that surprises me, or whether it has something that I haven't tasted before, or if it's a brewery that is just starting out, that it's something that will make me notice it. That there's a lot of beers that you can have that
mm-hmm.
are they're fine, and that you won't not order them again, but
mm-hmm.
you might not remember to either.
Sure.
And there are a couple beers that I always look for
yeah.
to see if they're on tap, and will seek out if. They're not readily available, so
sure, because they've poked you in the arm like, Teresa, here I am, have me
yes.
again. Excellent. Exactly. And you willingly oblige them. And our last question for our fabulous guest, Teresa Carpini, today from Spokane, Washington, writer for Ladies of Craft Beer and Beer Enthusiast, is one of my favorite wrapper-uppers. And it's, tell us about your earliest beer memory. And I would caveat that with, it doesn't have to be the earliest consumption memory, but what is your earliest memory being aware of beer?
Oh, man, I don't know. Probably just the horrible smell out of silver cans from family reunions and get-togethers that my parents and my aunts and uncles would be drinking, which isn't a very fond, like, not a super fond memory, but that was my first impression of beer. And, well, beer is not for kids. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody kind of, you knew that, but... I remember even thinking, well, I'll never drink beer because it smells gross.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But so now there's so many beers that's the first thing I want to do is stick my nose right mm-hmm. in the glass and get a good whiff on it and see, it's like, okay, this is what I think I'm going to get when I drink it. What is it really going to be? And I don't know. It's almost, yeah, I guess it goes back to that exploratory experience of finding a beer and getting a whole sensory experience out of trying it. So that's, I guess that was my first exploratory instance, was when sniffing the beer out of my dad's beer can.
Very
and
good.
Thinking it was gross.
Excellent. Very good. Well, Teresa, it's been a treat to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us on Beer Radio today.
Thank you for having me, Ginger. This was fun.
Yeah, it's fun. We should do it again.
I would love that.
Okay. Take good care. Good luck. Well, have an enjoyable break and keep at those studies. Let's stay in touch.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas. Bye.
You've been listening to Beer Radio, our weekly beer radio show, live coming to you from Southern Oregon. We just had fabulous guest Teresa Carpini with us from Spokane, Washington. We will be back with you again next week for the last show of the year, show 41. And our special guest will be David Caprell. He is coming to us from Idaho. He's got some fabulous technical beer information and just a great attitude overall. So happy Christmas, everybody, and cheers to beer.
Don't drink and beer is here. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier. Dann trinken die anderen unser Bier. Jeder Mensch hat seinen Tick und seine Eigenart.
Eine fliegt auf glatt rasiert, die andere auf den Bart.
Einer möchte nur Fußball spielen, dem anderen ist das Durst.
Wir allein gestehen es ein, wir haben immer Durst.
Vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnaps so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heu, seid gescheit, liebe Leute.
Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, drum trinken wir es hier. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier, dann trinken die anderen unser Bier.